are we who are members of the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? How long have you heard that one? I have heard people say, well, you folks are the ones that believe you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, I'm going to share two things with you. First of all, it depends upon what you mean by this term, the Church of Christ. If you mean by that the building that has upon the front Church of Christ on some sign somewhere, then my answer to you is no. No. I'm going to tell you why. If you look in the Word of God, you're going to find that there are other names given for the church. If you drive down a road somewhere and there's a building that has the way on it, that is a scriptural name for a church. If you drive somewhere and it has the name Church of God, that is a scriptural name for a church, for the church in the New Testament. And if you'll notice, those two names have more backing for them than Churches of Christ. There's only one passage in all Scripture that has church or churches, and it's not church, it's Churches of Christ. It's called the church, it's called the household of God, it's called the church of the firstborn, and there are other names. Altogether, I think there's some 23 designations for the church in the New Testament. Okay? Now, that being said, let me come to the other side of that, which is where I want to spend the majority of our time. If by that question you mean this, the church for which Christ has died and those who belong to Him, then the answer is yes. And I'm not playing the politician tonight. I'm not trying to play both sides of the coin. What I'm trying to do is help you see what I understand Scripture to say. And that is that the term Church of Christ, Church of God, Church of the Firstborn, all of those terms have as their link the fact that they are connecting the people of that body back to the person of God, whether it be God Himself or Christ. And it shows that it is His. It's not just a title, folks. It's saying something. It's saying that we belong to Him. Okay? Now, that being said, I want you to consider a couple of things when we think about this. First of all, what does the word church mean? The word church means called out. It comes from two Greek terms, ek and kaleo. Ek means out of. Kaleo means to call. And when you put those two together and make it a noun, it's called ekklesia, which means called out. You and I are the called out. The word church, if you go through the New Testament, is usually used, or it means someone who's been called out of something. If you go to the assembly, and there in Acts that of the Ephesians, when Paul was there and they brought him out, or they were bringing out some of those that were with Paul, and they were creating such an uproar, the gathering that came out was called an ecclesia. It was called a group that had been called out. But we've been called out of something for a purpose. We have been called out of the world, out of darkness. We have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear or beloved Son, Paul says. So we have been called the church. We are the called out. But we also belong to someone. We belong to Christ. We belong to God. So what I want you to understand is what we're saying when we say this. All right? Now, where did it come from? I've often tried to figure out where the statement, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're going to hell, came from. I think this is where it originated. I think years ago, some of our old gospel preachers, some of those that were preaching around the turn of the 19th or the 20th century, were teaching something, and there were those that twisted it. I think they originally taught what I've just mentioned to you. That what they were teaching is, you have to be a part of the blood-bought body of Christ. You have to be a part of that body which belongs to Christ, the church that is Christ, the church that is in Christ. And if you're not a part of that, you are lost. Okay? That's doctrine. That's gospel. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Okay? But somewhere along the line, someone took it and changed it to say, if you don't belong to this group of people that has this sign out front of their building, you're not going to heaven. Well, what began to happen is people turned that around and they lost sight of the church has other names. Now, all of that being said, let me throw out a couple of things for you, which backs up what we're looking at. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 16. After Peter proclaims him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build whose church? My church. Who's it belong to? It belongs to Jesus Christ. So it is his church. It's the church of Christ. It's the church which is Christ. And that's what we've got to understand when we're trying to talk to somebody about believing the gospel and obeying the gospel and becoming what God wants you to be. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, we looked at this passage this morning. This is Paul's statement to those who were the elders from Ephesus. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. He calls it their church of God, which he, who is that, Christ, purchased with his blood. Okay? It belongs to Christ. It's God's church. That's what we've got to understand. It's God's church. It's Christ's church. It's not my church. It doesn't belong to the elders here. I always find it interesting that somebody says, do you have a church you preach at? Or is that your church down there? And I'm going to say, no, that's not my church. Never belonged to me. It doesn't have my name on the door. And I'm glad it doesn't. It's Christ. You know, you belong to Christ. And that's what we're trying to say is who you belong to. Now, that being said, I did say something a while ago that some of you may say, now, wait a minute. I've seen places where I've seen signs, Church of God. And you are probably going to see places where you see scriptural names. The question is, can I worship there? I'm going to say this to you. In looking for God's people, you've got to look further than just the name on the outside of the building, because a lot of you know there are places that have Church of Christ on the front that don't teach the same thing we teach, don't practice the same thing we practice. And just to say Church of Christ going to heaven, I struggle with that, because I think there's a departure in some areas. So what do we look for? Number one, we need to look at the doctrine of that any group teaches. What do they teach? And by that I mean, what is their position towards Scripture? Do they view the Word of God as God's Word, infallible? That means it is what God wants. It is the way God wants us to understand it. And it is that upon which we base our teaching, that upon which we base our understanding of God's will. There is one group that does not place tradition above Scripture. And there are people who can meet and decide, here's what this church is going to do. And that overrides the teaching of Scripture. We don't believe that. So when you're looking for a place, you need to look at that. You need to understand, what do they think about Christ? Do they believe He is God's Son? Because there are people that don't believe that. Do they believe that He is risen from the dead? There are people that don't believe that. I ran across something a few years back that said that a large portion of those who preach in Protestant churches do not believe in certain aspects about Christ that you and I would take for granted. And I thought, I find that interesting that they're preaching in what typically would be called churches that follow the New Testament, but they don't accept that. What does that church teach concerning salvation and believe about salvation? There are those. And I had this discussion with my son-in-law on the way to Dixon the other day, taking him to work, riding with him into work. And he said, you know, we were talking about baptism versus just calling upon the name of the Lord. And I said, you know, the problem I have with that is, number one, you don't find that taught anywhere in Scripture. And that is not calling on the name of the Lord is found in Scripture, but the idea of praying the sinner's prayer, that's not even mentioned in Scripture. But there are those that teach that. Or all I have to do is ask the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. That's not found in Scripture. So what do they teach about salvation? You know, how do they teach that one becomes a Christian? Not only that, what is their organizational structure? Okay? Do they have elders? Do they have deacons? Do they have someone that's preaching the gospel? Or is there one individual that has the authority of what the elders would typically have in a church that we find taught about in the New Testament? And then what's their practice? How do they worship? Okay? How often do they partake of the Lord's Supper? Do they do it every Sunday? Because I believe that's scriptural. We can point that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Do they teach the necessity of baptism for salvation? And there's a host of other things. And so what I'm saying to you is, when you're looking at the church that we find taught about in the New Testament, you've got to look beyond just the name. We sometimes get hung up on that. And we've got to look at, what is that group teaching? What do they believe? What is their structure? What is their attitude toward Scripture? What is their attitude toward salvation, toward all of these different things? Okay?